And your radios are tuned in to W272BA, 102.3 FM and 91.5 FM, WMIE.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
It is Tuesday, and you are listening to WMIE 91.5 FM, Today's Modern Worship, and this is the Refresh Radio Program. My name is Bob Arthurs. I'm the pastor of Merritt Assembly of God, and it's our joy to spend the next half hour with you here talking about the Word of God. When I was a very young youth pastor, it was my first youth pastorate, there was some speakers that came in. I think it was probably for Valentine's Day, somewhere around there. They were doing a relationship seminar. It was a couple that had taught at Bible college that I attended. And I can tell you that I have forgotten more that I've heard in church than I remember that I've heard in church. But this lady made a statement that I have never forgotten. She held up her Bible and she said, "The Bible is for living, not just for preaching." And that statement has stuck with me for a lot of years now, a lot of years. And today we are going to go to Matthew chapter 15. We are going to begin in verse number 1, and we're going to be talking about how devotion for God also impacts our earthly relationships. And a lot of people think that that doesn't necessarily have to happen, but I'm telling you, it's very, very essential. So while you are turning to Matthew chapter 15, I want to say thank you today to the folks of Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric. They are in Rockledge, Florida, where they have been taking care of problems in those areas for over 40 years now. I want to ask you to be praying for them as one of the owners of that business who been around for, were part of the business for a long, long time. They just had her celebration of life this last weekend. And so if you would be praying for them, that would be greatly appreciated. But if you are here in Brevard County, from the southern tip to the northernmost tip, whether you're beachside or mainland side, whatever your problem is, whether it's air conditioning, heating, or electrical, you will find that Wyrick Air has been providing professional sales services and repairs in all of those arenas for over 40 years. They work in residential settings and light commercial settings. They provide emergency service when necessary. They always strive to provide you with the best service possible at an affordable price. So if you find yourself in need of their services, give them a call, 321-632-9538. 321-632-9538. We had them out one time, and I want to tell you this because I want you to understand the integrity that they operate with. They came out and looked at one of our units, and all the problem was a little bitty, teeny tiny wire that had broken in half. And they were able to fix that, I think, 15 or 20 minutes, diagnose it, repair it, put it back in order. And you might be thinking that you are looking at a serious repair. It might not be that significant. They are experts at what they do. Give them a call and have them come out and take a look at it. Now, I will tell you, I don't know what their rates are. I don't. But I did tell you on yesterday's program that we had been away visiting some family, and I've got a family member that works. Actually, I got multiple family members that work in the trades, and they said that the company there, this isn't in Florida, but they had just raised their rates again. I had just come from another family member's house where I was doing some repairs, and I went to buy parts to fix it myself, and I had sticker shock just from the price of the parts. Fortunately for me, all those parts that I bought weren't the right parts. I was able to take them back. I was able to put together a correction to the problem. And as a result of that, it didn't. I did a refund almost for the exact amount of everything. There were a couple of things we kept. But if you have not paid for a repair of late, whether it's plumbing, electrical, drywall, whatever it might be, please understand that this is not your grandfather's economy anymore. Things have gone up in price. When I was talking to the cashier when I was buying the parts again, this is a different state, they said, yeah, the price of that has come down some, but it's still way more than it was before. And so, like I say, I don't know the rates of Wyrick Air, but I can tell you I will pay more for somebody who deals with me honestly than try and save a dollar here or there and find out that the person that I'm dealing with isn't forthright and honest. So give them a call. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh Radio program. So to Matthew, the 15th chapter, we go. Verse number 1, then the scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders, for they do not wash their hands when they eat? I'm just going to look here. When it comes to verse number 5, I'm going to read that from the New International Version. Verse number 3 says this, he answered and said to them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. Verse number 5 from the NIV. But you say that if a man says to his father, whatever help you might otherwise have received from me is a gift devoted to God. So verse number 5 in the New King James says, but you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God, then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition, hypocrites. And so that's where we're going to stop. Jesus here is addressing an issue. He's not the one that brought it up. He is not the one that initiated it. This was a conversation that was initiated by the scribes and the Pharisees. They were looking to make themselves feel better by putting down the disciples of Jesus. And so they accused them and questioned Jesus as to why his disciples transgressed. That's a word. Why do they miss the mark? Why are they falling short? Why are they not abiding by the tradition of the elders? And here was their offense. They didn't wash their hands when they ate bread. Is there anybody here that has ever operated by the 15-second rule? Where you're eating something happened, and all of a sudden, that desirable thing that you were wanting to consume fell on the ground, and there you are. You've got to decide, what am I going to do with that? Well, first of all, I can tell you it depends on where it falls. If it falls on the counter, we're okay. If it falls someplace where it's fallen into the mud or something, I don't care what's going on there. I'm not eating that. On our most recent trip, there was a delicatessen that I grew up taking part of, and it went away. And then it came back with a bunch of franchises, and I was like, oh, man, I haven't had one of those. It's probably been about 10, 10 years or something like that. And my wife said, well, we can stop and get one of those. And I said, it's okay. I said, it's just more of an emotional thing, because that was the restaurant that I used a paycheck to buy my very first meal for my entire family, my dad, my mom, my brother, my sister. And I went, ordered it. I paid for it. I brought it home. I set the table. There wasn't enough room at the table. I went and sat in the living room, and I set my sandwich there. And when I went to make sure that everybody else's was where it was supposed to be, the dog ate my sandwich. And I love the dog, but it strained the relationship there for a bit. These people weren't talking about food that had been dropped. They were bothered because they didn't think they washed their hands well enough for them. And so Jesus answered their accusation that the disciples were not honoring the tradition of the elders. And he said, well, why do you transgress, same word, the commandment of God? Now, that's an elevation. Commandment is greater than tradition. God is greater than the elders. And he says, why do you transgress the commandment of God? Because of your tradition. In other words, Jesus is coming along. He later calls them hypocrites in this passage. And he said, you have elevated your tradition above the commandment of God. Let me ask you this. Is there anything in your life that you've elevated above the commandment of God? So I tell people, when I was growing up, the first Bible verse that people memorized was John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I memorized it in the King James Version because that was the version that we had at that particular time. Now, the only verse, or the first verse, and maybe the only verse that people know is, judge not lest you be judged. And they pull that one completely and totally out of context. And so I was reading an article here within the past several weeks. I don't remember exactly what day it was. And some public figure was being bashed because of their biblical stance towards a issue that society wants to make fluid. In other words, the elders of our time are trying to elevate their desires, their proclamations, above the commandment of God. And when this person refused to adjust that, which verse do you suppose that they brought out? That's it. Judge not, lest you be judged. So, in today's day and time, we are still doing the same thing that the scribes and the Pharisees were doing in Jesus' time. We're still elevating the traditions of people in influence and power now. We are elevating them above the commandment of God. That's got to change, because it's never going to get there. You can elevate it in your personal life, but you are never going to elevate that on an eternal scale or a spiritual scale, because God said that his word is settled forever in heaven and on earth. He has exalted his word and his name above all other things. Shouldn't we do the same? So he then goes on and he addresses something far more serious than the washing of your hands. Now, he's not condemning washing your hands. What he's doing is condemning the people who were condemning his disciples. He was challenging them. And he says, For God commanded, saying, honor your father and mother, Okay. It's a commandment. It's one of the Ten Commandments. And he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. And so there is a very high emphasis that God has placed upon the relationship that the children are supposed to have towards their parents. Now, here's one of the things that I have observed in society, and that is that there is a propensity, an inclination, a mindset that is out there that says once you hit 17, okay, I don't know why it's that magic number, but I've seen it over and over and over again, that when you hit 17, you no longer have to listen to your parents. I want you to know that that is nowhere to be found in the scripture. Nowhere. And so honor your father and mother, and he who curses father and mother, let him be put to death. And so there's been repeated instances where I have seen people who said, look, I'm 17 or I'm 18. I no longer have to listen to you. And by the way, I'm going to continue to live at your house, eat your groceries, and do whatever I want to do. And you can't speak in any manner. Unless you approve of this, then we're going to have problems. So there's really a global distortion into this generational relationship issue that Jesus is addressing. Jesus is saying that's supposed to be a relationship of honor. It's not. You can't demote the commandment of God and insert a tradition and say, well, we're all good now. That's not going to work. And so I want to encourage you. My dad is still alive. My mother-in-law is still alive. And I may not be able to do everything that they want me to do, but I'm still, biblically, even though I'm almost to the age that my dad was when he retired, that I'm still biblically required to honor him because he's my father. And so whenever we go on a trip, my wife and I are constantly reminding ourselves, honor, honor, honor. And so when I am able, I try and honor him financially. Like this last trip, we said, you know, hey, if you want to order food in, you know, we'll go get it. And so I don't really eat pizza that much, but they eat pizza. And I said, how about pizza? And they said, there's a place right around the corner. And they started reaching for money. And this is what I said. Now I want you to sound, it's going to sound bad, but it was really because I was wanting to honor him. He started reaching for money, and another family started reaching for money. And I said, look, I'm paying for this. I would hate to have to break your hand to get that money back in your hand. In other words, you're not going to deprive me of this opportunity to bless and to honor you. And so whenever we've gone golfing, now this was not a trip for golfing. It was way too cold. I try to pay for the golf as much as possible because I want to honor him. I don't get as many opportunities from being over 1,000 miles away, but I want to honor them. I want to be a blessing to them, not a problem to them. Much of the world, for most of history, there has been a generational issue. There were many times generational households. And that's been displaced here in America where people want to go get a place of their own and all that sort of stuff. I understand independence and responsibility and all those sorts of things, but in a lot of cases, there has been a severing of the relationship with mom and dad. In the current political climate, there are people who feel justified in eliminating their mother and father from their lives and depriving them of seeing their grandchildren. What Jesus is talking about in Matthew chapter 15 is still going on. There are some countries that once a child hits 18 or 21, whatever it is in that particular country, the parents then say, look, our responsibility is over. We're going to spend every dime that we've got. You are on your own to make it. And don't expect anything out of us. And by the way, we'll see you on Sunday for dinner. I had a missionary that said that in that culture, there is no relationship between the parents and the children other than that on Sundays, they're supposed to go over and remind one another that each other exists. Here's what Jesus says. You've replaced what God commanded with this. Whatever help you might otherwise have received from me is a gift devoted to God. And so what this person is saying is, I want you to know that today this relationship is being severed. If I have been of any financial benefit to you today, it's a gift devoted to God. But from this day forward, I'm not honoring you. I am not going to help you to meet your needs or any of that type of stuff. There is a generational disconnect that takes place. You know, there was a term that happened, I don't know, 15 or 20 years ago where teenagers were divorcing their parents. Look, that's not a new concept. That's what's being described here. And it goes on and says, then he need not honor his father and or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. You're a hypocrite. So I want to encourage you that there's a difference between honor and respect. Okay, I'm not saying that you are going to be able to respect every action of your parent any more than they're going to respect every action that you've done. There is a tremendous breakdown in our country right now where if someone disagrees with you, then you say, well, I don't have to respect that situation. There are people in authority, and I honor those people in authority, even though I might not respect the decisions that they make. But I honor them. If there's a person that I disagree with, but I have the opportunity to meet them, that could be a God-ordained moment where I may have the opportunity to communicate in a way that's going to have an influence on transformation in their life. So there is a need for honor. Let's not make the commandment of God of no effect by our lifestyle. This world that we live in needs the Word of God. It needs the Word of God to be honored. In fact, I think I got a piece of mail here not too long ago. Our theme at our general council is the Word of God, learn it, love it, live it. I believe that's the theme that is going to be taking place. So what I want you to see here is that God wants us to honor our earthly relationships. And if you have to look at it and saying, okay, well, I'm going to do this as a gift to God, then do it as a gift to God. Say, God, I am honoring them because you want me to do that. My wife and I do not just do this from a spiritual or a philosophical manner. This is something that we do with our physical strength, with our finances. We do everything that we can because we realize this. It is a seed sowing opportunity because at some point in time, there is going to be a time when we may need the harvest of the seeds that we sow now. So as a father, I've looked at the situation where Jesus said that, you know, he laid down his life for the sheep and a husband ought to lay down his life for his spouse. And so I have been very diligent about, you know, if it comes to my wife's desire or my desire, if there's not a consensus, then I'm going to, unless I have direct commandment from God, I'm going to honor her in that situation because I wanted my kids to see what it looked like for a husband to be willing to lay down his life for his family. I also realized that as a father that I was not supposed to exasperate or provoke my kids. I was not supposed to create a hateful and a relationship that was filled with animosity. I was supposed to instruct them. I was supposed to train them. I was supposed to love them. I was supposed to show them what a man of God looked like. And I wasn't supposed to make that a hard lesson for them to learn. I wasn't supposed to create a stumbling block for them to understand our Heavenly Father. I was supposed to treat them in a manner that was going to equip them to succeed with God as their Heavenly Father. And so if you came from a dysfunctional background, welcome to the club. I'm sure all of us have some level of dysfunction in our family at some point in time in some area, whether it's financially, relationally, whatever it might be. All sorts of stuff. Break the chain. Say, from this point forward, we are going to repent of our elevating the traditions of men over the commandments of God. We're going to live our life devoted to honoring the earthly relationships that God wants us to have. I'll close with this. A man told me one time, he said, look, Jesus said I was supposed to hate my mother and father, so I hate them. I said, you're misinterpreting that text. He said, nope, it says hate them, so I hate them. And I said, you're misinterpreting that text. He didn't want to hear anything like that. I said, it is impossible for you to hate with animosity that which God has called you to honor. Hope today's been a practical lesson for you. We'll be back tomorrow right here on the Refresh Radio program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Joy.